Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
No Matter What by Jennifer Carr. Jess Haley, with her exceptional skill of deciphering people's thoughts and emotions through body language and microexpressions, encounters Brian Carson, a member of the U.S. Army Cyber Force, setting her on an unforeseen path that challenges her beliefs and abilities. As Brian becomes embroiled in a covert investigation, Jess comes to grips with the consequences of his actions, which are further complicated by the arrival of a mysterious box of evidence that endangers everything she holds dear. Caught in a perilous web of intrigue, trust becomes elusive, and Jess must navigate a world turned upside down, even questioning the trustworthiness of those closest to her. In the midst of turmoil, Jess confronts the unsettling possibility that someone she trusted deeply may have harbored long-hidden secrets. Despite enduring numerous challenges, she must summon the strength to open her heart and rediscover the capacity to trust. Amidst the uncertainty and concealed truths, Jess' journey unfolds, marked by twists and turns, self-discovery, resilience, and the intricate interplay between perception and reality, showcasing the deep impact of unexpected encounters and the courage needed to move forward in the face of pain.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, I'm thrilled to have Jennifer Carr with me. She's a wife, homeschooling mom, baker, part-time farmer, social media addict, and an avid reader. I don't know how, I'm guessing that you might sleep at night, but I'm not sure. So welcome to my show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Sarah. I'm excited to be here.
No, I don't think sleep is optional. Yeah, if I could stay up later, I would, but my kids laugh at me because at 9:30, I'm like, I'm tired, I'm going to bed. And they're like, where's mom? And it's terrible. I have teenagers. I'm glad my husband stays up later because he can handle any late night stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm just worn out. I'm like, just get me to bed.
I only have the one kiddo though, so it's probably different with a bunch of them. And she is 14, so she's tied into that independent stage where I don't have to do as much. So I'm not as tired by the end of the day like I was maybe 10 years ago.
Well, I've always been an earlier to bed person, which is terrible. I mean, even when I was a kid, you know, I was like, yeah, 10 o'clock is, I'm tired, you know, staying up till 11 was always hard. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just the way my body's built. And so,
You know what? You got to have night owls and you got to have early birds. And so.
Yeah. I wish I could say that I was an early bird, but I am not like get up at like 5 a.m. kind of a person. So, Anyway, I try to pack a lot into the day and I'm usually pretty good, but you know, let's talk about writing instead of sleep. So,
okay.
And romantic suspense. So, What is it about romantic suspense that you enjoy writing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I am a romance junkie. Like, any kind of romance, I'm all about it. But if I was going to sit down and watch a show, I mean, it's always been a mystery, a murder, a crime, something like that. There's going to be something that needs solving. And so when I started writing, well, and, you know, we can kind of talk about where the book idea came from, but I was having this dream. This girl was, she was working through some solving of crimes. She was on the run. And I was like, ooh, how did that dream end? And so I started writing it. And I just really got into it. And I realized that writing romantic suspense is just as fun as watching it on TV. And so it kind of went from there.
Yeah, I just, you know, I love a good romantic story. I do, mm-hmm. But sometimes I'll read the straight romances and I'm like, okay, when's the danger coming? And why aren't they trying to solve a mystery? I think it's just I want. Yeah, so I'm not sure what that is. I'll have to fix that. Anyway, I did all the, watched all those movies, read a lot of, you know, Nancy mm-hmm. Drew, Trixie Belden, all those kind of books. So I've always. I love writing romantic suspense. I love reading it, but yeah, it has to have that good romance part of it too, I think.
Oh, and also for me, like my brain, it wants to jump to the end so quickly. So I think not just with the romance that I know exactly what's going to happen, right? Because there's that formula to it. But if I can get into the suspense side of things where it's like, okay, I know what's happening here, but what's happening over here? My brain is much more satisfied and when it has multiple tracks to run down. So, and maybe that's just my ADHD kicking in when I read. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either. I mean, I love to juggle all of those threads
Yeah.
in my brain and writing it. And people, sometimes my readers will ask me, "Well, how do you do that?" I'm like, "I have no idea. Just the way my brain works."
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Yes.
and sometimes I'll put like, I don't realize that I'm putting clues in the book, and then later I'm like, "Oh, that's why I did that in chapter 4." I'm so
I
bad. I just
love
have
that.
no
You just
idea.
get, no, you get so wrapped up in the story yourself. I love that.
Yeah, I have no idea why I did it. Anyway, so let's talk about the plots for you. So where's your inspiration for plots? This is a question I always find really hard to answer, so I can't wait to hear what you say.
Okay, so it's really funny. With my first, the first book, the first two books that I wrote, they're part of a series. And like I had mentioned just a minute ago, the first one happened because I was in the middle of this dream when my alarm went off, and I was awake, and I was like, "Oh, that was so good! Like, how is this dream going to end? I don't know." And so that one was really easy to come up with because I was dreaming it, and I just kind of went from there. So I started writing it, and I thought, oh my goodness, I've got what was probably equivalent to about four chapters. And I was like, I'm going to write a book. And so I told my husband that afternoon. I said, honey, I think I'm going to write a book. And he was like, good for you. And I was like, we'll see. It sounds like a great idea. So I did. And so I just, that plot was, it literally just inspired by a dream. And the second book followed up that one because I needed to check in on my characters. And I was like, I'm not sure what's going to happen here. So let's just jump in and see what happens. And so, but that was just a checkup call on my characters. And they're fine. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard for me to pinpoint exactly where my inspiration comes from. I mean, it could be a news article I read, and I think, well, what if this happened instead of that? Or, you know, it could be, I haven't written this book yet, but I read this story about a couple who have a boat, and they just go on these lakes with this sonar stuff to try to find missing people who have drowned in the lake and they haven't been found. And I was like, that's just really weird and cool, and I'll have to write about it one day. I haven't yet, but I think about those things.
No,
So
that's
I get
so
it
cool
fun.
though, because I've actually, yeah, no, I've seen that. Like on TikTok, there's actually a whole series. Like they have a show, and then they put the clips on TikTok where that's what they do. They go around, and sometimes it's heartbreaking. And so, but you're still like,
Yeah.
how did they get there?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of things. So, I don't know if they're the same people or different people. But, anyways, there's all kinds of weird stuff. So, let me just say, weird stuff like that is like, you know, catnip to some
I
of us
love
romantic
it.
suspense authors who are like, ooh, I can take that and then I can do this. And then, yeah. And I always love hearing about ways to kill people. Either accident, usually it's, did you know that you could die from blah, blah? And I'm like, I did not know that, and that is fascinating, and I think I might use that one day.
You're one of those also that's like, please, FBI, don't check my search history because you're going to find
Yes, yep.
something you don't want to
Yeah, well, I used to worry about that more, Jennifer, and now I realize that I have enough books to my name that I can just say I'm an author. You can read my book. You can find out where that, you know. So it's not. I feel like I have enough legitimacy. But in the beginning, before I had anything published, it was like, oh my goodness, if anyone comes and sees this, they won't really believe me because I don't have anything published.
Yeah, and my dad. So my dad is one of he's a former police officer. Now he's a reserve police officer for the city that he lives in, and the chaplain. And so I would call him and be like, "Hey, do you have a minute? I have a question for you. Like, how would this guy take down this guy?" You know, and I would ask him all these questions about law enforcement, and he was like, "This is for a book, right?" I'm like, "Of course it's for a book. Why else do I need to know how these things happen? It's fine."
Yeah. Well, and you're, I mean, come on, you're his daughter. He ought to just be like, sure. You know, maybe I need to know this because,
Regardless.
you know, I need to take down the school crossing guard because they weren't doing their job. I don't know. I mean, there's
Exactly.
possibilities here. So,
Have my back.
yes, well, of course he ought to. He ought to just give you that information, you know. I'm jealous of people who have those law enforcement people in their family. I'm like, I have just have to kind of go up to strangers or there's some really great loops and email lists and stuff that you can ask those kind of questions and not get like weird looks. So, thank
Oh,
goodness for that. So, have you ever
yeah.
regretted killing off a character in one of your books?
This is a fun question. Yes and no. And it's the same character that answer applies to. So, in my first book, one of the main characters, he does meet an end. And it had to happen. Like, it had to happen to move the plot forward. And it was heartbreaking. And it was just, oh, man. When I wrote it, I cried. When I reread it, I cried. The day I wrote it, I was crying, and my husband walked by and he was like, "What happened?" And I said, "He died." And he looked at me, he's like, "Who?" Thinking it was somebody that we know, like somebody important,
Yep.
and I hadn't told him. And so I was like, it was him." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And so then the book publishes, and about a week later, I start getting angry text messages from friends from church, from my dad, from just my mother-in-law. She says, "I am very upset with you right now." And I was like, "Let me guess, because everybody else has already told me." And so they were so mad. So I knew that it had to happen because that was the reaction I got. And I knew that it
Right.
was a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time.
Yes, yeah, I've regretted a little bit. You know, I had some people say, "I can't believe you killed such and such off." I'm like, "Yeah, had to happen. Had to
It
happen."
did.
I
Yes.
don't have any regrets because it's for the story,
Right.
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do have this has been interesting. I do have had people ask me, you know, about characters in the story, like, am I going to give them their own story? What, you know, I've had several people ask in one of my books what happened to some characters, and I was like, huh, maybe I need
Yeah.
a sh maybe they might need their own little short story. They don't really need a whole book about them, but maybe a little short story to kind of give them some closure or something. Maybe, I don't know. There's not I don't have
Yeah,
that many hours in the day to write, but I think about those
right.
things.
And that does happen, and that's actually one of the things that I'm working on, because I wrote book one and I wrote book two, and while they're related, they can be read completely separately. But there are a lot of questions that people have had about, well, why did he do it, and how did this happen? Like, because you kind of it flashes from one place to the next, and you're like, well, you know it happened, but how? Why? What happened? And so I'm working on like a 1.5 to kind of shove between there, because the main character, Jess, she's a consultant with the government agencies because she has these abilities, and it's her husband who he meets his demise, unfortunately, because he got too close to a case that was being investigated. And then she works for the FBI. Well, there's an FBI agent who she entrusts to help her solve the case. And so, you know, it had to happen, but you want to see all the answers in between. And so that's where my 1.5 is kind of coming in. So yeah, it'll be like a novella, but hopefully will answer everybody's questions.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful. I'm sure your readers will be eagerly awaiting that. So, how do you ensure your books are accurate? You mentioned talking to your dad. Do you do what else do you do to make sure that they're A-okay?
Yeah. Listen, research is my jam. I will research the bejeebers out of anything and everything just to make, like, if it's a matter of, you know, what model toilet would be in a house this age from this year, like, I'm going to research it down to the penny of information that I can find. And so, I love research. And what's really funny is I mentioned my main character having these extrasensory abilities, like she can read people's micro expressions. And there's actually like that's how she can, you know, tell when somebody's lying or when somebody is hiding something. And so there's actually an entire science behind it that the FBI has used. And so I like did a deep dive through their whole program. I was like a minute away from buying the whole program to do it myself and become certified in micro expression reading just so that I can know exactly what she was. I didn't do it, but I want to do very badly. So I'm very dedicated to research, and I will find the answer before I ever write it, because I know readers will come after you if you get something wrong.
Yes. And I think that in one of my novellas, this is a short, in one of my Christmas novellas, Mistletoe and Murder, it takes place in Virginia, and I realized one of my beta readers was like, they couldn't
Oh.
find it, couldn't find this plant. This plant wouldn't have been green in December. I'm like, you've obviously never lived in Virginia. Yes, I've had 70-degree Christmases. You know, this the
Yeah.
plant, you know, and no hard freezes really until January. So this could happen. So I had to kind of weave in a small explanation because several of them were like, yeah, it was fine, but I just didn't believe that this, and it was kind of a crucial part. I needed the plant to be alive and green.
That's funny.
So it was, yeah, it was a little funny, and I just realized, yeah, sometimes it, depending on your location, you need to drop in. You don't want to be like info dump blah, but you know, you need to have a little bit of explanation if people aren't that familiar with the area to know that this is true. I noticed that happens. I feel like that happens a lot in like some Alaska books because they feel like they explain a little bit. Well, this they don't get a lot of snow here because it's in this part of Alaska, you know, so those kind of explanations I find very helpful. But yeah, to make it act because it is accurate, but then if people don't think it's accurate, then
See, and that's hard because you don't want to pull them out of the story, right? You don't want them to be yanked from that their imagination, but at the same time, you're like, but I know this is true. I know this is real. And so you have to find that balance. And it can be difficult sometimes.
It definitely can. Well, this has been delightful to chat with you, Jennifer. So we're going to close with one final question. What do you wish
Okay.
readers know? What can't even say the question. What do you wish readers knew about the romantic suspense genre?
There are so many things, but I think the main one is that it doesn't have to be one or the other, and it can be heavy on one and not the other. Like just because it's romantic suspense, you don't have to focus on the romance if you don't want to, and the suspense can be a little less if that's what you prefer. But I think as long as you're keeping the reader in the story, I think if you're a romantic suspense fan, you can be pretty happy with it. But you do have to keep people in the story. I think that's really hard when you are writing suspense because of those questions, like we were just saying, that there are sometimes. So, you know, get your information accurate. But it's not always romance. It's not always suspense. And if you'd like one more than the other, I'm sure there's an author out there for you, just waiting for you to pick up their book.
Well, thank you so much for sharing today. I appreciate it, Jennifer.
Thank you, Sarah. This was fun.
Now, an excerpt from No Matter What by Jennifer Carr. The music was loud, and people were shoulder to shoulder, laughing, dancing, drinking, and trying to hear one another over the chaos. Stacy danced her way through the crowd, smiling and looking backward to make sure I was still close enough to follow her. Trying to make myself as small as I could, I followed uncomfortably as people constantly bumped into me. Once on the other side of the crowd, Stacy showed another bouncer the same card she'd shown at the front door. He pointed upstairs and gave directions to what turned out to be a private room. The room was spacious and dimly lit. There was a fully stocked bar to one side and a single round table in the center. There were several sleek leather couches on the walls, flanked by modern angular armchairs. The room was insulated from the noise and only allowed in the occasional thumps of a beat. My ears were ringing, so I appreciated the reprieve. Stacy pulled out her phone and sent a quick text and received an instant reply. She grabbed my arm and, sounding almost panicked, said, "He's coming. Do I look okay? How's my breath? Oh, Jess, you're just gonna love him. I really think you will." I stifled a laugh and put a hand on Stacy's. She was humming with nervous energy. "Stacy, you have to calm down. You look amazing. Your breath is fine." And at that moment, the door opened and in walked a man who appeared to be in his early 30s. He had dark hair, hazel eyes, and a tanned olive complexion. Stacy let go of me and moved quickly to the man, kissing him on the mouth, then pulling him by the hand toward me. She introduced us. "Pete, this is Jess. Jess, Pete." Pete reached out his hand, and immediately, as his hand embraced mine, I felt it, the painful current that warned of danger. I tried hard not to, but I tensed. All my senses were on high alert. The ringing in my ears grew louder and my heart rate increased. The scent of his aftershave mingled with a hint of alcohol and mint turned my stomach. Before I could retract my hand and end the handshake, Pete had both of his hands around mine and was smiling at me. It is my pleasure to finally put a face with the name. Stacy has told me so much about you that I feel like I already know you. Struggling to keep my reaction neutral, I attempted what I thought was a smile, but my eyes, attentive, never left this man's face. Danger, deception, determination, arrogance, compulsiveness, greed. So many red flags, combined with the strong pulses of energy hitting my nerves, threatened to send my entire body from fight to flight mode. With a squeeze of my fingers on his, I attempted to signal that I'd like my hand free, and was finally able to pull it out of his grasp. The warnings inside of my mind were blaring. This man should not be trusted. I wish I could say the same, but Stacy was determined to make the first impression a surprise, I said with a nervous laugh. Pete smirked. That sounds about right. She was telling me all about your ability to read people. I guess she wanted to find out what you really thought about me. Learn anything? My body went rigid at the idea of Stacy telling anyone, especially this man, about my abilities. With a forced smile, I said, I always learn something, but I don't like to give my first impression in case they are wrong. Know what I mean? When I glanced at Stacy, my face fell. I tried to communicate my concern silently, but Stacy glared at me, giving a small, quick shake of her head. Pete beckoned Stacy, who immediately snapped back to the moment and moved to take Pete's arm. Pete, you have to tell Jess some of those stories you were telling me about the army and some of the places you've been. Like the one about Mozambique. That one was hilarious. Pete was checking his watch and not really listening. If he had picked up on anything I tried to convey to Stacy, it did not show. The door to the private room opened and all eyes moved to see who was joining our party. There he is, Pete exclaimed. Pulling free of Stacy, Pete walked toward the man who entered the room. There was a swagger in Pete's steps that emanated confidence and control. Pete extended his arms and the men embraced, slapping each other on the back. Brian, I would like to introduce you to Stacy. Brian dipped his head and shook her hand politely, causing Stacy to giggle. She was interrupted when Pete forced Brian's attention away from her to me. And Jess. I extended my hand and braced myself for another jolt, but when Brian took my hand and squeezed gently, everything around us seemed to stop moving. Hi, he said, with the most beautiful smile I had ever seen. He was tall, broad-shouldered, and clean-shaven. There was a dimple in each cheek that immediately caught my attention, increasing the squeeze that had started at my hand, but had quickly wrapped itself around my heart. To say my senses went into overdrive would be an understatement. These sensations, however, were different from anything I had ever felt. Instead of the electrical impulses in my spine that warned of danger, I was engulfed in a wave of warmth that seemed to radiate through and around me. This was new. Hi, was all I could manage. Though I let go of his hand, our eyes stayed locked for another beat. Confidence. Self-disciplined. Thoughtful. Warm.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammakerfiction.com.